Aussies love the bush, but sometimes the bloody bush doesn't love us back. I'm John Harper, just a simple joker talking about why mental health is everybody's business and what to do if you think a mate is struggling. This season on Mate Helping Mate, we've decided to go down a slightly different path and dive into some really important themes that continue to come up when dealing with mental health issues. You'll hear from people from different walks of life with wisdom that they have learnt from their personal experience.
You only want to rebuild a dam wall when it's broken. It's pointless if it's strong and standing there and holding the water. So you really got to work on this muscle when it's broken, and that's where it builds.
It'll be 3 steps up, maybe 2 steps back, because something will happen that will knock you back. But it doesn't mean that that purpose isn't still there.
There's got to be something that gives you something to strive for. For me, it was my kids and my husband.
This podcast is a Room 3 production and brought to us by our mates at the Murrindidgee Primary Health Network and the New South Wales Department of Primary Industries. Any advice in this podcast is of a general nature, and we recommend seeking professional health advice from your GP, doctor, or other medical professional. If you're struggling with your mental health, please visit the show notes or matehelpingmate.org.au for links to trusted service providers across the country. You can also call Lifeline on 13 11 14. They're available 24/7. You'll be hearing the lived experiences of everyday folk in rural and remote Australia. The language can be strong at times, and references of suicide may upset some people. So consider who's within earshot when listening.
G'day crew. Today's episode is about resilience. And resilience for me is a really difficult word or term even to define. And I think you'll see that in the varying degrees of the experiences of the people we talk to today. And I've been instructed by the production team to throw in the word treacherous. If we start thinking about four-wheel driving and getting into some treacherous landscape, some people just go at it, bull at a gate, and they bounce over the bloody stuff and they get to the other side. Others go a bit more cautiously and really struggle. Some get stuck and have got to get pulled through. But eventually we all get through the treacherous stuff. And today's contributors are all people who have got through treacherous circumstances. Some have bounced through, some have been dragged through, and some are still struggling to get to that other side.
You've got a story, everyone's got a story. It's how we react to that adversity, it's how we come out the other side that makes the difference. It's a real choice.
Yeah, so shit happens.
Yep.
Not how deep the shit is, it's yep. how we handle.
Yeah. So choose to succeed. Make that choice. And sometimes that can be a difficult choice, but in the end, you know, you take the medication, you do the psychology, you do all that. But in there somewhere, you have to have the gut instinct or that initiative, the attitude to go, I'm going to have a crack at this. I'm going to do it. And just quietly, you've got this little goal beneath there somewhere going, oh, I'm going to get better. I've got to get better for my kids. My husband needs me. I can't do this. What am I teaching my kids? So there's got to be something that gives you something to strive for. For me, it was my kids and my husband.
And if you're the individual that's so flat and can't see that at the time, is just be open to people who do care about you, that what they're doing with asking you how you're going and whatever else is that they're trying to give you just that little spark, that
yes.
little spark in the core of you that'll move you forward.
So important.
And you need to be open to that. As Julie alluded to, we often don't build our resilience until we hit the shit. Julie has been there, done that. She now is a confident and resilient presenter. If you would like to hear more from Julie, go to episode 3 of the Mate Helping Mate podcast. If you can survive like Brett, our next contributor, you can learn the lesson. The lesson of dealing with shit, but developing the ability to appreciate your life.
I do suffer with depression, and with the accident injuries on top of that, it becomes very overwhelming.
What kind of strategies do you use? So formal, informal, mixtures?
Because I've had some pretty bad injuries before and diseases that made me quadriplegic, I had to be ventilated, I could sort of cope more because I was younger and I healed quicker. Now I'm a lot older and the process of healing is taking a lot longer, so I'm becoming impatient. But the thing is, if I can just go out and do one little thing a day and get it finished, it makes me feel a lot better, a lot better.
So that highlights, I suppose, strategies of little steps rather than expecting perfection at the first attempt?
Yes, definitely. Before the accident, I was a bit of a perfectionist. It shows in my building of my house and what I used to do. And that's why I know I can do it in my mind, but my body just won't do it for me. So that's why I'm becoming impatient. I mean, I've come a long way from when I become conscious after the accident, because I was completely paralysed from the neck right down. So yes, to a lot of people, I look like I'm not too bad, but there's a lot of emotional stuff. We deal with it differently in our mind. What we show out of us to other people compared to what we're feeling. Pride's a big thing. And from what I've gone through before, I've got myself out of it. So I think within myself, I can still do it.
This podcast has been made possible thanks to our mates at the Murrindidgee Primary Health Network. Their Empowering Our Communities grant is the federal government's way of walking the talk, demonstrating their commitment to supporting families and communities living with the impacts of natural disasters. The program aims to support suicide prevention and encourage rural communities to seek out mental health support. This podcast is also brought to you by the New South Wales Department of Primary Industries. Through resilience building activities, they support primary producers experiencing natural disasters. You can find out more about them and the great work they do on our Mate Helping Mate website.
Is resilience bouncing back, or is it having the capability to claw your way back? Did you bounce back to where you are now?
I don't think I've bounced back. I think I've bounced forward. Like, I'm not the same as who I was. I've been through the crap and I've come out the other side, and I don't want to be the same person that I was, because I guess now I can see the picture a bit clearer and I've got those relationships, so I don't want to go backwards. So maybe it's bouncing forwards.
Yeah. Well, I've got more of a thing with bounce that really gets on my goat at the moment.
Because, I'm clawing forwards because, then, John.
Yeah. Well, it's semantics, I suppose. I bounce when I'm happy.
Yeah.
Boom, boom, boom. But when I was struggling, it was an effort. It wasn't something, I suppose, what doesn't break you makes you stronger.
Mm.
In your journey, I suppose some of those things are the things that made you wobbly.
Mm. Without a doubt. Like, I'm not going to sit here and say it was all sunshine and roses growing up. It wasn't. Like, it was bloody tough. And my brother's older than me, so it was me and mum at home for quite a bit before I left. End of year 12, I left and went to uni. I lived at home up until that stage, and it was tough trying to be the person that is supporting your mum as she is supporting you. Like, it's not an easy journey, but like you say, it has made me who I am today, and I don't regret any of it, and I wouldn't change any of it.
One of the simple observations I've made, to be resilient, to be able to bounce up, is you've got to go down first. You've got to experience tough stuff before you can bounce up above it. And I know that you have different or slightly different strategies to what I do. So when I'm feeling low and struggling with stuff, I tend to reach out to my family and do stuff with the kids, whereas you're somebody that likes isolation, which to me kind of goes against the grain, is that normally you want people to come together to get energy and motivation, but you isolate. What do you do?
Well, I've had trauma and high levels of trauma. I go camping or I isolate so I can get my stuff together, reflect, work through it, and then I want to connect, but I don't want to expose myself to someone else's opinion and my own trauma, I suppose, at that time. I want to rebuild inwardly a little bit before I'm ready to talk about it.
The ordinary people listening to this podcast, they need to realise that if you're going through months and months of trauma or droughts, floods, fires, that at some time you've got to look at ways of recharging, of getting some positiveness back into your life.
And you've also got to come out of the woods too. Like, isolation's not good medicine in the long term, but I've always thought it's okay to go under your doona. It's okay to
have a cry.
To have a cry. It's okay to, you know, to bleed. That's all right. But if you're doing that for weeks and months, that's not healthy for anyone. It's not healthy for you and the people around you. And sometimes you make the effort for other people. If you don't want to do it for yourself, you do it for others. You might be feeling like shit, but then I make the effort for other people so they're not so worried about me, because if you've got other people worrying about you all the time, it makes you feel sicker. To rebuild emotionally and socially, as hard as that is, and you only want to rebuild a dam wall when it's broken. It's pointless if it's strong and standing there and holding the water. So you really got to work on this muscle when it's broken, and that's where it builds. That's what life tests you, I think. It tests you when things aren't great, and that's when you got to change it up, change what you're doing. If you want change, change equals change.
It takes time to get through. It's not overnight. And that's the problem. We want things to happen tomorrow. It won't happen tomorrow. It takes time. It's little progression. And the problem is it'll be two steps up, one step back. Three steps up, maybe two steps back, because something will happen that will knock you back. But it doesn't mean that that purpose isn't still there. We all get cranky because we have sometimes too high expectations of ourselves. And as others have said in your podcast, if you don't want to get up today, fine, work on it and aim for tomorrow. It's all right to have today off. You've earned it.
But isn't it easier too when you're frustrated and you can't see your way forward to be cranky and take it out on somebody else than actually admit and take it on yourself?
And you've got to feed every day and you've got to water every day. It just never ends. And that's the problem when you can't see an end to something. That's why you need to be able to find, okay, it's only going to go for 6 months and then will do something different. If you can time yourself, then you've got something to aim for. If you've got nothing to aim for, it is never ending.
And maybe that's why mental well-being and mental health is such a challenge, is because when we start addressing it, there's no finite end. There's no finite future.
No. And
we just don't know how long it's going to go, because we're doing two steps forward, one step back.
So when are you classified as better? It's a bit like cancer. Everybody has those genes in them.
That's true.
It just is a matter of something that triggers it. Everybody has got them. And our problem is, as soon as we're born, there's one definite thing.
We're going to die.
We're going to die. It's just a matter of, do you enjoy as much of that lifetime until you die? That's what we need to do. You've got to look half a glass full.
So raise your glasses. Here's to Helen. And let's top them up again, eh? It's great to have on the line Dr. Lisa Patterson-Kane, psychologist, mother, farmer's wife, does it all. She goes out, rural and remote, does face-to-face stuff, has done for over 12 years. She's smarter than me. She has coped with change. She has used modern technology to be able to help people, to use her skills, her qualifications to make life better for any of us that are struggling out rural and remote. If you're on a remote cattle station, whether you're sitting in a tractor, there are people like Dr. Lisa here who are passionate and committed to helping you the best way they can through any method they can. It's great to have you on the podcast.
Well, thank you for having me.
No problems at all. So I think it's a balance, isn't it, in well-being, is that there's nothing finite. Everything is in flux, in change, and it's how we deal with that.
And something that I often say to people is we're not entitled to be mentally healthy. We have to do things to look after ourselves. Now, for each person, what that may be is a little bit different, and at different stages of our lives we may need to do more or less. But if we do nothing, we cannot expect that it's just going to be there for us. Understanding that whether you use buzzwords like resilience or self-care or whatever it might be, at the end of the day, it's pretty much common sense that if you don't look after yourself, you can't expect yourself to run well, especially through adversity.
We expect ourselves just to keep bloody well going.
And it's a shock, and it's a, well, what's wrong with me? And it's not that there's anything wrong with you. It's just about taking a step back and going, well, what am I doing to look after myself? It's through those periods of adversity. So whether it be loss and grief might be a trigger, it could be a physical health response. It can be kids leaving school, leaving home, having to go to boarding school. It can be drought. It can be any of those things that we pretty much say it's the extra stuff that goes into your bucket. And if your bucket is at a very already well-maintained level, then you can tolerate those other things that go in. You've got the space there, because it's inevitable that bad things happen to good people. It's not fair, but it happens. So if you have been able to have a level of resilience, because resilience basically means that you can bounce. So when something bad happens, instead of hitting the ground like a flat football, you're able to kind of bounce back up. And if you've been able to do things, and if you have things in your life, so support networks, physical activity, personal goals, a sense of purpose, if you have those things in your life, you're much more inclined to bounce back up. But those things don't just happen. You have to take a step back and go, okay, what are those things that I have in my life? What do I do to create them? So as I said before, mental well-being is not an entitlement. So utilizing some of these things such as apps and online programs to keep yourself well is about taking that step back, saying, okay, this is something that I might need to do to improve myself, to keep that balance, to reduce worry, to boost mood. And I think that there's more than one way to skin a cat. So
I love that saying.
If there's a problem, don't feel as though if you don't see yourself fitting into that traditional model of seeking assistance, that that's the only thing that's out there for you. There are so many options out there, but nothing changes if nothing changes. You have to be engaged in the process to make something a little bit different, whether that be that you engage in more exercise, whether you get a referral from your GP, whatever it is, something has to change in order for things to get better. But don't feel as though there's only one option out there, because that's not the case. There's a plethora.
I sincerely believe that these things work and change is upon us, and we have to use all the avenues we can to make a difference. So I salute you, Lisa, and I'm very pleased for you to have some input to our podcast.
Thank you for having me.
Sooner or later, without doubt, you're going to miss a gear change. Life will test you just the same. Use your lived experience to build your own resilience. Just the same as truck driving. You don't put the young buggers in there and expect them not to crash the gears. So use that, and always remember, united we stand. Use what you've learnt today. Use mate helping mate, please, and support yourself when you hit treacherous terrain. Look for that advice on how to change gears, on how to down change going up a hill. so that you can get over this treacherous terrain that we sometimes encounter. So happy travelling, crew. All the best.
In finishing, a reminder that this podcast features general information only, and we recommend you get independent advice from a qualified professional. Mate Helping Mate has links on the website with a number of great service providers across the country. Head to matehelpingmate.org.au. If you're struggling with your mental health and need to talk now, call Lifeline at any time on 13 11 14. This podcast was a Room 3 production and brought to you by our mates at the Murrindidgee Primary Health Network and the New South Wales Department of Primary Industries. Episodes of this podcast can be found on Spotify, Apple Podcasts or Google Podcasts by searching for Mate Helping Mate and hitting subscribe. If you like what you've heard, make sure you leave a rating to make it easier for others to find us. Better yet, share it with your friends and family to start a conversation about mental health in the bush. A massive shout out to John Harper, who over the years has travelled this country, tirelessly working to improve mental health in rural and remote Australia. And of course, his offsider Michelle for her continued support for John and his work. Original music by Southwark Sounds and stock by Soundstripe. Thank you for listening, and we hope that you've found this informative and helpful.